There will be more people excited at 5:30 this afternoon than there were at 8:30 this morning when kickoff comes. And God says it's all right to get excited in church. It's all right to be enthusiastic. He says he wants us to praise him with everything that is in us. Praise means to commend or extol, praise highly, express approval. Praising God means that we lift him up and we glorify him. But it also means that in praising God, we humble ourselves and turn our attention to him rather than the things of our day. In Psalm 92, verse 1, it says, "It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High." It is good to praise God. And throughout the Bible, as we saw there at the end, there are many expressions of praise. There are verbal expressions of praise and thanks and adoration. There is singing, there is playing music, dancing, lifting, or clapping of hands. But we have to be careful when we do those things. See, God warns us through Jesus not to go through the motions. In Matthew chapter 15, he says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain." So praise and adoration are good things, but pure and genuine praise comes from our heart and not just from our lips. Praise is a great way to come and connect with the Lord, but all too often we leave this praise in the building when we depart on Sunday mornings. We come together and we share with our brothers and sisters from 8:30 to 9:30 and then maybe Sunday school, and then we go about our life. But genuine praise, the kind that allows us to draw power from God, should be an integral part of our daily life. It should be more than just something that we do on Sunday. It should be intertwined, intermingled with our daily prayer life. When we're driving our car, we should be praising God. Please keep one hand on the wheel and one eye open. When we are at work, we should be praising God. When we're at home or when we're at play, we should be praising God. In Psalm 34, verse 1, David says, in the midst of a very trying time in his life, he says, "I will extol," and again, extol means praise highly, "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips." Hebrews, the author says, "Let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name." Continually praise. All the time I will praise. When we praise God, it brings us into his presence and into his power that we need for life. The Psalms were their praise songs of the time. And in Psalms, there are many invitations for us to come and to praise. Psalm 107 says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Psalm 135, "Praise the Lord, praise the name of the Lord, praise him, you servants of the Lord, you who minister in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praise to his name, for it is pleasant." Psalm 71, "My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long." Finally, one more, Psalm 146, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live." Now, many of the Psalms were attributed to David, who we know to be a man after God's own heart. But when we look at David's life, he is a man that lived a life of many contrasts. He was sincerely committed to God, but yet he was guilty of some of the most unbelievable sins that we have in the Bible. David's life is a frustrating one to follow. Growing up, he lived in the shadow of his brothers. And then as a young man, he had to continually flee for his life from King Saul or even from his own son. After he became king of Israel, he was constantly in a battle defending his kingdom. David, a man after God's own heart, allows one night for lust to come into his life and there's Bathsheba, and the consequences have deterioral effects, disastrous effects on his life and on his family. He fathers King Solomon, who is one of the greatest kings in the Bible, but yet he also fathers Absalom, who revolts against David, and the bloodshed is great, and it destroys much of David's family. His life is a roller coaster of emotions, of good times and bad times, of good times and bad times. But yet David found plenty of time to praise the Lord. Back to Psalm 91, verse 2. As I read to you in the beginning, it says, "Good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High." Again, this is David, good and bad, morning and night. "To proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night." Wow. From a guy like David, understands that praise is something that needs to be a lifestyle. Not something we do when a good event happens, not something that we do when things are going well, but something that happens all the time. So what can we learn from these Psalms about the power of praise? Well, the first thing that we learn is that there is power in the midst of our trials. There is power in praise in the midst of our trials. Acts chapter 16, we have the story of Paul and Silas. Now, Paul and Silas have been out and they exorcised a demon from a young lady. And now her handlers can no longer make money. So they drag Paul and Silas to the magistrate. And the magistrate orders them to be flogged and beaten. Acts chapter 16, verse 23. "After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them." So we have this picture of Paul and Silas being locked in stocks in what most likely would be a dungeon. Probably not a very nice place to be, not a very clean place to be. Uncertain about what their future held in the morning, of what would become of them after they've just been severely beaten with rods and stripped, and here they are. But yet they're singing praises at midnight. How many of you will be up at midnight tonight? Singing praises at midnight. Heaven forbid if the football game goes that long. And others are listening. Now, I know that some of you here this morning, I don't know everything that you're going through, but I know that we have families among us that are going through some pretty rough times. Relational issues, health issues, family issues. There are probably more things than I even know about. But again, here are Paul and Silas who are physically beaten, and yet they are praising God, singing songs to him. So right now, some of you are going, "You're crazy, Pastor Rick. How can I be singing praises to God and lifting my hands up in praise when my life is just falling apart? Things in my life are terrible right now. I don't understand why I'm going through all these tough times. I don't understand why God is doing this to me." The last thing I want to do is to praise him for what I'm going through. But, excuse me, I'm batting a little bit of a cold here and I'm trying to get through. But in those circumstances, when our life is crumbling around us, praising God is the best thing to do. When things don't seem to be going right or we don't understand, that's when we need to acknowledge the presence of God in our life and in our midst of our circumstances. God already knows your circumstances. He already knows what you're going through. He knew that you would be going through these tough times, and that's why he warned us through Jesus in John chapter 16. "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." He has told us up front that we are going to have struggles in this world, but because he has overcome the world, by the table that we just came from, we should have great peace and be able to give him praise in all situations. No matter how dire they become, we need to recognize that God is our Lord. We may not understand why we're going through what we're going through, but God does. God knows your pain. Ask him, as you praise him, ask him to reveal to you in the situation, the opportunity that he is presenting you. There is always something that he is giving us, an opportunity to grow or to share our testimony with others. Things may not turn out the way that we like him, but as we praise him, eventually we see the good that comes out of it at the end. We can look back and say, wow, I made it through that trying time. God is good. We praise him for the work that he is doing around us and in us and through us to others. Because if we will praise him in the midst of our trials, look at what happens in Acts chapter 16, verse 26. Remember, they're in the dungeon. They're singing songs. They're praying. They've been beaten. They've been stripped. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The power of praise changes their whole situation. Here we see a story where we should not doubt the power of praise in Paul and Silas's life. Because if we continue to read, we say that not only were they freed, but the jailer comes to them and says, wow, what must I do to be saved? The jailer takes them home, treats their wounds, his whole family becomes saved and baptized, and then like good Baptists, they sit down and have a meal together. Because Paul and Silas were praising in the midst of their trials, a whole family comes to know the Lord. In your life, the power of praise is unbelievable. When you praise God in the midst of your trials, you have no idea who is watching or looking or listening to what is going on. But at some point, they may very well catch it. And then because of your praise in the midst of your trials, the power of salvation becomes their power in life. There is great power in praise when we focus on praise rather than our problems. Let me give you another story here from Psalms chapter 63. It's a story of problems, but yet praise. Psalm 63, you, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Now, this psalm is attributed to King David. And when he writes this psalm, he is on the run from his son Absalom, who has launched a rebellion against him, trying to depose his father as king. And he's hiding out in the desert. But yet, running from his own flesh and blood, hiding out in the desert, we see great praise for his God. Matthew Henry, the great Bible scholar, says that just as the sweetest of Paul's epistles were those sent out from a Roman prison, so some of the sweetest of David's psalms are those that were penned, as this one was, in the wild desolation of the Dead Sea Desert. You want to know why David was a man after God's own heart? And that's because he understood the power of praise in his life. In the midst of his hard times, he's not focusing on his problems in the desert. He is focusing on the power of his God. Look at what he says. Again, remember, picture where he's at. What's going on in his life? He says, you, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. Earnestly means with great effort, with serious intent. In the midst of my problems, I'm going to seek more of you. With my whole being longs for you. Just as in the video, God kept telling that young man, with your whole being, with everything that's in you, I want you to praise me. I thirst for you as if I am in a dry, parched land. Wow, this is David, and yet in the midst of all of this, he promises God, I will praise you. My lips will glorify you. I'll praise you for a lifetime. I will be fully satisfied. He's running for his life. He's hiding out, and he says, you know what? I'll be as satisfied as if I'm eating the richest of foods. And you heard those kids say, praise God for food. This is the situation that we have. David has such a great understanding of the power of praise that he says, because your love is better than life. David had a good life. He had some bad times. He had everything that he wanted at his disposal, and he still says, because your love is better than life. No matter what my problems are, Lord, your love is better than life. No matter how well things are going in my life, Lord, your love is better than life. Good times, bad times, your love is better than life itself. See, the Apostle Paul understood this as well. Matthew Henry said he wrote some of his sweetest epistles from prison. Well, listen to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, as Paul tells us, how do we focus on praise rather than our problems? Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. In the midst of your problems, instead of focusing on your problems, focus on those things that are good. Focus on those things where God has held you up in the past, where God has provided for you. Think of those good things. See, we live in a world, especially again if you're a sports fan, we always talk about streaks and things like that, but we live in a world where it seems like when we get on one of those rolls, you know how it is when things start to go a little bad, it just seems like one thing after another and another, and you're going, holy cow. This is one of those things that if I didn't have bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck. And we happen to see those times in our lives, and we become negative about what's going on. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that praise is more powerful than pessimism. Praise is more powerful than pessimism. We start to think the worst. You know, one of my favorite sourpusses in all of life is Eeyore. Oh my gosh. He might say something like, there's only one rain cloud in the entire sky, and somehow I'm not surprised, it's raining on me. Sometimes we can get into that mode of being negative or pessimistic, and we expect the worst in every situation. Pessimism is defined as a tendency to stress the negative or unfavorable, or take the gloomiest possible view. At times, we can become so negative in our life that we take good things and we make them into bad things. Well, yeah, life is going good right now, but I just know that sooner or later it's going to go bad again. When everything is going well, rather than praise, we start anticipating that something bad is going to happen, that the bottom is just going to drop out. We talk ourselves into misery and gloom and doom. And so when something good happens, we can't enjoy it because we're already looking forward to the next bad event. The pessimist says, my cup runneth over. Ah, what a mess. We can get caught up in this so easy when we forget the power of praise. Paul says, that's why for Christ's sake I delight in weakness, in insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The author of Hebrews in chapter 11 is describing the Old Testament saints. And he says, who out of their weakness were made strong. Paul understands that it's when those times when we are having trouble, when we're facing insults and hardships, and what Christian has not faced those situations, but who has not been picked up by God and dusted off? God has always been faithful to help us come. We can look back eventually and say, wow, now I understand why. I really think that when we get to heaven, Scripture is very clear that there'll be no more tears, they'll all be wiped away. And I believe that we can look down from heaven on our loved ones, and the reason we don't cry when we see all the bad things going on in their life is because we see the outcome as well from heaven. We can see the trial that they're going through now, but we see how they come out on the other end. And we praise God because God has already got that worked out for us. And so we don't focus on our problems. We focus on a God that will bring us out stronger on the other side. We focus on praising God because we know through the midst of our trial, when we focus on our problems and we become pessimistic, we're going to be smarter and wiser on the other side. It's when we struggle and think that all is lost that God has an opportunity to display his awesome power. We don't need his power when things are going well. In fact, many of us, when things are going well, God's one of the least things we think about. But it's in our weakness and our struggles that God can redeem us and help us to understand the power of praise. One last quick story this morning about the power of praise as we wrap up. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The Ammonites and the Moabites are gathering their forces to go attack Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah. They pick up an army from Mount Seir on the way. Well, Jehazael gets spoken to by God, one of the prophets there, and he tells the people of Judah, God says, don't worry about it. The battle belongs to God. You go to the battleground and you stand your ground and you watch what God won't do. Verse 22 in chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles. They're at the battle site. As they begin to sing in praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moabite and the army of Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The armies of these kingdoms coming against them were defeated by the power of singing and praise. The Moabites and the Ammonites turn on the army from Mount Seir and wipe them out, and then they turn on each other. Judah doesn't have to lift a finger other than lift their hands in praise and song. And God defeats their enemies. And it's no wonder, because you know what Judah, the word Judah means? It means praise. Means praise. The power of praise delivered them from their enemies. It can happen in our lives as well. In the midst of our trials, rather than focusing on our problems and becoming negative, when we engage in the power of praise, wow, God will turn our lives around. It gives him an opportunity to give us more opportunities to be thankful. Let's pray. But Father, we give you praise and glory. We know that we have been, as believers, we have been through some tough times. We've had our share of problems. But we're here this morning because somewhere along the way, you picked us up, you dusted us off, and told us everything would be all right. Throughout the Bible, you encourage us and tell us not to fear, that you're going to be with us. Don't be discouraged. Jesus, as he sends the troops out on the Great Commission, he says, I will be with you forever. So we praise you this morning, Father. We give you all thanks, all glory and honor, because you are a God who keeps your word. We may not understand what we're going through now, but we trust that you will deliver us in the end. And so we praise you for that. Father, help us to live each day in the power of praise, that when things begin to go bad, we just turn to a song, a favorite hymn, a favorite worship song, a favorite scripture from passage, and we give you praise and glory and begin to watch our situation change for the good. Father, we love you. And this morning I pray that if we have one person here this morning who has not been touched by the power of prayer because they have not invited you into their heart yet, we ask, Lord, that you would speak to them this morning, that our power of praise, just as Paul and Silas, would lead them to an understanding of who you are and what you did for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, his death on the cross to take care of our sins and our iniquities, that we would have hope of eternal life in heaven with you. And for that, we praise you for your abounding love and compassion. Father, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, praise the Lord. All right, please.